What do you think of when you think of faith? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Has anybody thought of anything yet? What?
Confidence.
Trust. Anything else? What?
Believe.
Okay. God. What?
Saved.
We're saved by faith. Anything else?
Something that's not seen that we haven't convinced
on. Okay, something that you can't see, but yet we're still convinced on it. We're still committed to it.
Power.
What's that?
Power.
Okay. You know, I think of the Bible. You know, the presence of God. Somebody mentioned God. I think one person that comes to my mind when I think of faith is Abraham. Abraham believed God. I think of the book of Hebrews. And it seems like one of the purposes of the book of Hebrews was to help Christians live by faith. And it's interesting the way he accomplished that theme or objective, but mainly he did it by exalting Jesus Christ. You know, in essence, he said, Jesus Christ is above everything. Jesus Christ is above everyone. He's above all powers. Tonight, what I thought we'd do to start this out is I'd like to ask you to read the book of Hebrews, starting in chapter 11. And I'm going to break you up into three groups, and you can pair off twos and threes and read these sections aloud. Okay, men of faith in Hebrews 11. I'd like for this section right here, on my right and the back section, to read about Abraham in chapter 11, verses 8 through 9. And you can pair off, as I said, in 2 and 3. And for this section, right here, again, pairing off, read about Moses, 23 to 28. And the third, the judges and the prophets, in verses 32 to 40, would be on my left and that back section there and the balcony. And here's what I'd like for you to look for, and just to take a couple minutes and discuss. I'm not sure if you can read this. But what motivated these men to live by faith? What motivated these men to live by faith? Now, I'm not going to give you very much time, so you're going to have to read fast. Does everybody have their assignment? Okay, I'm going to give you 4 minutes to read these sections and to discuss what motivated these men to live by faith. And then we'll come back and report a couple minutes. Okay, go at it. I'm sure you've exhausted all the possibilities by now. But I don't want you to go back and read the historical accounts of these events, so what do you think, the first one, motivated Abraham to live by faith? Over here. Anyone on this, okay?
It seemed like he heard what God said and believed God and what God said.
Okay, heard of what God said and he just believed it. All right. What else? Okay, there was something there about Abraham that it seems like he had an acquaintance of the personal God, and probably some kind of a personal relationship. But he knew about God. He knew what he was like. Okay. The promise of God. Abraham kept going back to the promise. God, you said. As a matter of fact, Abraham did that for a number of years, didn't he? Before he really saw God bless. Okay, any others on Abraham? Okay, one more back there. Okay, it seems like that there was something there that Abraham was looking toward a country that God had made. So he had his sights on God and what God had made, and also what God was going to give. Okay, Moses. What do you think motivated Moses? Okay, the reward of suffering with Christ. He sought or saw? He saw the invisible God. I'm not sure what that means, but he had some kind of an encounter, didn't he? Okay, that's right. That's good. He had his parents' example. Boy, how that helps. You know, if you have parents or friends that were people of faith, to remember how they lived and how they believed God. Okay. Okay, along with their examples, the example of his parents, she said probably they were praying for him. Okay, what about the judges and the prophets? This one isn't as clear, but I'd like for you to speculate a little bit.
I think, you know, you're right, it's not as clear, but boy, I see that for these people to go through this, they had to have a belief that was just so strong. God had said to them in the past. And they had seen what God had done to them. And it was a belief through that that just made their faith so strong that they were willing to be cut through and everything else.
Okay, good. There was a strong belief in their hearts of what God had said. So strong that they were willing to be sawn in two. Any other thoughts on the prophets? Rex?
They see the power in their weakness.
They what?
They, looking to the rewards, one of them was they'd receive power in their weakness. When they were totally lost, they would receive the power of God.
Okay. As they looked forward, they recognized their own weaknesses, and yet, as a result of that, they experienced God's power. Sort of like Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, isn't it? The weaker he saw himself, the stronger it seemed like that God worked for him. What do you think? What is a man of faith? Well, I think it's a man that believes God. It's a man that believes the promises. Some of these things we've already mentioned. Now, I've got a very shabby definition compared to what some of you have already come up with. But this is just part of it. I'm sure it's not all of it. But living by faith means that they were just doing what Christ commanded with the confidence in God's faithfulness. Notice it doesn't say anything about the results here. But living by faith maybe just means doing what Christ commanded with confidence in the faithfulness of God. What do you think makes a man of faith? What makes a man of faith, or a woman of faith? Well, I've been doing some thinking on this. And as a matter of fact, I feel that God has been doing some work in my own heart on this thing of, you know, am I a man of faith? And what does it mean? And so as I began to look at some of these men in the Old Testament, like Abraham and Moses, there's one thing that I came up with that I feel characterizes these men, and it's simply that these men were God-motivated men. These men and women were motivated inside by God Himself. You see, it wasn't the results that really turned them on. It really wasn't what they were experiencing that turned them on to live by faith. But I see that there's something here that it was just God Himself inside of them that turned them on. They were God-motivated men. There's a passage of Scripture that has come alive to me, and it's in Daniel. Now, Daniel's in the Old Testament, for those of you that have never read that. And Daniel's right after Ezekiel. Now, the way this passage came alive to me was that this is in my little boy's devotional book. And my little boy's five. And it happens to be one of his favorite passages. And when it's a favorite passage or a story of a five-year-old, you hear it over and over and over and over again. And after 2 years, I feel like maybe God spoke to me. In Daniel chapter 3, you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was a wild story. But these guys were threatened with the fiery furnace if they didn't worship the king's idol. Now note what they said in chapter 3 of verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." But now look at 18. "But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." Isn't that interesting? We do believe God will deliver us, but if not, win or lose, we're going to be true to our God. Fruitful or fruitless, we will be true to our God. Burn or singe, we'll be true to our God. You see, I think they were God-motivated men. I think Abraham was a God-motivated man. No distrust made him waver concerning the promises of God. But you know what the rest is? He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Or it seems like as Moses looked to God and said, "I give you the credit, I give you the glory and honor for everything that happens." He increased in faith as he gave glory to God. Many of you have read the book, Knowing God, by J.I. Packer. How many of you have read that? Packer was in Columbia, Missouri several months ago, giving a seminar on this subject of knowing God. And Don Nedenrip, a friend of mine, attended that. And after the session, Don got 30 minutes with Packer. And one of the statements that Packer made that has helped clarify this thing of faith to me, he said this to Don. He said, "Young man, if you get this concept of God or principle about God correct, it will answer most of your questions and solve most of your problems." He said, "Now get this. You, Don Nedenrip, exist for God. God doesn't exist for you." In other words, God is not a Santa Claus. You exist for God. Or in a passage, Paul said, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price." And so as I see, I live and I breathe and as I act and as I think for God. Yes, God pours out the blessings, but it may be that as some of these men of faith never received the promise. You see, I think these men existed for God. And so as they saw themselves existing for God, they were motivated by God. And so they became men of faith. See, Abraham, I believe, learned to give glory, or he learned to exist for God as he waited years and years for God to bless. I think he learned to appreciate God Almighty. And he began to see that he was a child of God. And he was a child of God for God's sake. We are not our own, but we were bought with a price. Well, if I really have this attitude that I exist for God and I become a man of faith, or I become a God-motivated person, what am I like? Well, let me give you a story. I lived in Chicago several years, and it was there that I became a Christian. And one of the things that I began to do immediately was to try to share with people how God has changed my life. Well, within the course of a couple years, I found myself giving little seminars and little talks, sermonettes on how to witness, because people saw that I was doing it. Well, I can remember a number of occasions when I would get ready to give my little sermonette on how to witness. I would go out and hit the streets, and I'd pray like mad, "Oh, God, bless this time. God, give me some people now." And you know why I did that? So I'd have some stories to tell. And then I'd go back and I'd share these giant stories, these miracles, so to speak. Was I a God-motivated man? Probably not. Did I really exist for God? No, probably not. Was there any faith involved? Yeah, probably a little bit, because I really thought he'd bless. But I wasn't motivated by God. I really didn't exist for God, did I? I just bought a book, Miracles in a Doctor's Life, by Walter Lewis Wilson. How many have read this? Well, this book is just filled with little war stories on how God used him as a doctor in talking to people about Christ. Now, I bought this book purposely because I knew it would be the thing that would help me live by faith. I think the first chapter will characterize, or the first chapter, the about the first paragraph, it characterizes to me what a God-motivated man is, or what a man is like who exists for God's sake. This guy was a doctor, and he went to New York City, and he went to a hotel, got a room. Next morning, he kneeled down beside his bed, and he said, "I ask the Lord of Harvest to guide me during the day and use me for His glory." Now, here's what he prayed, and I think it's his prayer that gave me a little insight into his life. "My Lord, this is a large city of 7 million people, and I'm just a weak, unknown servant of Thine, with no knowledge of the city and no acquaintance with the hungry hearts that might be here. Thou dost know where the needy ones are. Thou alone dost know whom Thou hast been dealing with. Here's my body, here's my feet, my lips. Wilt Thou take them today to some troubled heart and speak through me Thy words of light and life? Thank You, Lord. I believe Thou wilt do it. Rising from my knees, I took my samples, my price book, and my Bible, and went out to call on my first customer. Walking down the 32nd Street, he walked by a bookstore, and he walked into the bookstore to buy a book with blank pages. And the reason he did this was he liked to record all of his prayer requests on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side, the answers. So he went into the bookstore, and he bought the book of blank pages, and on the way out, he said, "Sir, do you know why I'm buying this book?" And the man said, "Well, maybe it's for some gift." He says, "No, this is my prayer book." And the guy got a little nervous, and he unwrapped the book. He said, "You've got the wrong book." It's interesting, he said, "Immediately I knew that the Spirit of God was working in his heart." And so he proceeded to tell him how God answers prayer. And here's what the man said. He says, he was a German guy, and he says, "Can you get to God?" He said, "I have gone up and down this city from meeting to meeting searching for God, and I can't find Him." And he led him to the Savior. You see, I think as this man was a God-motivated man, he existed for God. He was sensitive to the Spirit of God. It not only affected the way he prayed, but it affected his boldness because he was looking for those people. Then he goes on and he shares the story of how he worked in a factory as a doctor. And one day this gal came, and she was running a sewing machine, and she'd run a finger, a needle through the end of her finger, just through the skin, didn't hurt it much. And so he patched it up and rebuked her for her carelessness and sent her back. 10 days later, she came back again. And this time she had run through just a little more of her finger. Well, this time he rebuked her a little harder and said, "Young lady, if you don't be more careful, we'll have to fire you." Well, sure enough, 10 days later, who was back in the office but this lady. This time the needle had gone all the way through the bone and had broken off. And she came into his office and almost passed out. And so he repaired the finger and he told her, he said, "Well, we're going to have to fire you." And then he said this to her. He said, "Bertha, the scripture says, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now, this is a serious accident. Said, "You may get blood poison and maybe die in the next few days." And then he asked her, said, "Are you ready to meet your God?" And the lady broke down and cried. And she said, I've been troubled with this question for the last several months. She said, "I'm not ready to die." And she said, "I was not careless with the machine, and neither did I have an accident. But I deliberately placed my finger in the sewing machine, hoping that you would talk to me." And she said, "I came in after the first time, and you didn't talk to me about Christ, and I felt that you didn't care about me." And she said, "I cried several nights, and finally, I was so disappointed and heartbroken that I decided this morning that I was going to injure my finger so badly that I'd have to be in your office a little longer this morning and you'd have to talk to me. And of course she came to Christ. Well, do I exist for God? God, what do you want? God, I'm just yours. Well, as I said, the Lord is working in my heart in this area. And one of the things I'm working on is just some of the things that He shares in here. And I've joined this health spa to exercise, number one, and second, to meet people and just to live among these guys. And recently I've been, every day that I go to the health spa, I get on my knees and I say, "Oh God, I exist for You. Now who do You have there?" And it's been such a joy just to see the Lord open up those doors. I, being a member of a spa in Kansas City, also opens up the doors for me here in Colorado Springs. And a few weeks ago when I was here, I visited the spa here. And we were in this dressing room changing our clothes, and this guy was stretched out recovering from his exercise. And one of the things that I have decided to do is to initiate the conversation about, you know, the sky, if nothing else. But I'm going to be the first guy to talk. And so just very quickly, I greeted him, and he complained about inflation. And I just said, "Well, you know, that's interesting." I said, "Several years ago, I became a Christian," and da-da-da-da-da-da. And man, the guy came up off of that thing. He said, "Are you a believer?" He said, "I've been looking for somebody like you for months." And explained that he had become a Christian just a short time ago, and he had no fellowship. And I was able to see him again, and we're going to try to get in touch this time. Do I exist for God? Well, if I am in approaching this week, tomorrow and tonight, and if I'm approaching this by faith, and if I'm a God-motivated man, seeing that I do exist for God, how will this relate to me tonight? Well, I know some of you are here unemployed. Some of you are broke. Some of you birds have searched the street for a year trying to find a job in your field. You've been rejected by employer after employer. Some of you are here and don't know anyone. Sort of lonely. Some of you, it's the first time you've ever seen the Navigators. And you're wondering, what in the world is this outfit? Some of you feel like you ought to be on Navigator staff, and here you are in this messed up ministry in Chicago or Kansas City. Well, if I exist for God, how do I look at all this? See, I noticed tonight, or yesterday, when I arrived in the Glen, there was a fear that struck my heart. I don't know what it is. A nervousness. Well, how do I look at this? Well, how does God look at it? Well, He says, "You were bought with a price and you're not your own. I exist for God. Win or lose, I will serve my God." There's some of us that haven't had a good witnessing situation since we left the campus. Fruit or no fruit, I'm going to live for God. And I know that's our heart. So how do I look at it? Well, I don't understand all of it, but there's one thing I know is that he's my father, and I'm his son. And so whatever the situation is, I have to say, thank you. Thank you. I exist for you, God. Well, there's some of us here with a job, with a $12,000 job, promising future. Some of you are engaged to be married. Man, you've got it all psyched out. God is just blessing. He's just pouring out all the blessings to you. 10 people have been saved in the last 6 months. Ministry's booming. But how do you look at it? Well, thank you, God. I exist for you, God. Why me? I don't know. Well, how do I live by faith? I'm wrapping this up. How do I live by faith? Well, we had the definition of faith. As you go into chapter 12, you see, wherefore see that we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. See, I think the main thing is, if you want to live by faith, you imitate others' faith. As you look at these men in the Bible who were God-motivated men, who just existed for God, you imitate that. Well, when I think about imitating somebody's faith, sometimes there's things that come into my mind and my heart that keep me from really imitating a man's faith. So what do I do? Well, in chapter 12, we see you strip off all the weights. See, I can remember those days in Chicago trying to witness by faith, and the reason I couldn't do it was that I wanted everybody to know that God was blessing my life. The weight I had was a lot of pride. You know, fear. As I came into the Glen, I had a fear. That's a weight. So I just go to God and I just strip it off. Second, I just recognize some sin. If I want to walk with God and exist for God and be a God-motivated man, I've got to strip off all knowing sin, Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Some of us have been sliding to the goal. Well, Hebrews 12, 2 says, let's run to the finish line. How do I run to the finish line? Well, I simply make myself available to the Holy Spirit and to God, moment by moment, by faith, because I exist for God. Tonight, I exist for God. This week, I exist for God. And in my life, I exist for God. Well, the thing that we're all encouraging you to do, and the thing that I have been encouraged to do is to be in touch with God this week. And we do expect God to bless. But to go to God and to simply say, oh God, I exist for you. What do you want to do this week? You want to give me a hard week? You want to use me? You want to bless me? But we are in the presence of God, aren't we? We really are. God is here. Well, let's pray.